I'm excited about this morning's topic of what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going through a series on rules for a joyful life. Does anybody want to have a joyful life? I certainly do. And if you guys don't throw tomatoes at me this morning, then I think we'll probably get through the series okay, because this will probably be the one that will be like, oh, I wish he would have talked about that one. Last week we talked about, in the park, we talked about what brings joy to our Heavenly Father. And the week before that, we started this series called Rules for a Joyful Life. We talked about embracing righteousness. We talked about how a lot of times in our society and culture, and sometimes even in our own minds and hearts, we think of righteousness as just this goody-two-shoeness or this, you know, overabundance of whatever, and we kind of have a bad idea of righteousness, like, oh, I don't think I could ever attain that. Why try? And that's really not righteousness. At least that's not how we should think of it. Righteousness is really when you are in right standing with God and man. There's an old saying, I'm sure many of you have heard it, do right till the stars fall. You've ever heard of that one? No? Who's heard of that? Do right till the stars fall. Nobody. Okay, we got one. One person. All right. Now I'm wondering where I heard that. Well, anyway, it's a good saying. Do right till the stars fall. That's righteousness. Committed to doing what is right. And that brings joy not only to ourselves, but it brings joy to our Heavenly Father. Well, this morning we're talking about submission. One of the rules for a joyful life is embracing submission. And now most of the guys are like, oh, yes, I can take this week off. Not so fast. Not so fast. Let us understand what submission is. The act of submitting, the act of yielding to power or authority, surrender of the person and power to the control or government of another. In other words, if we are going to define submission in one word, we could say submission is serving. Submission is serving. And so when we're asked to submit, we're really being asked to serve. Another part of submission, though, has to deal with our attitude. I didn't put this part of the definition down, but it also has to deal with our attitude, which means serving with a good attitude. It also means trusting in the Lord. Submitting means recognizing that I am not independent. I am not on my own. That there is a power over me. And that power for the Christian is God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That is submission. That's submission. It's do not trust your own reasoning ability. Do not trust your ability to go through life, to point yourself in the right direction and walk in the right way. Don't trust yourself. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not part of your heart. Not one-tenth of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him. That does not mean every time you're about to go out somewhere, say, God, here's where we're going, bless it. Hey, God, here's what we're doing, bless it. That's not what acknowledge means, okay? It's more like when a child is going out, right, and they're playing in the yard, and they look back, where's mom and dad? Am I doing what is right? Oh, they're not upset. Okay, Now I can go a little further, right? That's acknowledging the authority and making sure that we're within the realm, within the will of that authority. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Come under His guidance. Come under His direction, and He will direct your path. Romans 8, 6 through 8 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." We have to understand that we are more than just eating and drinking. We are more than just the air that we breathe. That there is a spirit to man. And that God's spirit, when we become a believer, God's spirit combines with our spirit. We live together with God. He dwells within us. And we are subject ourselves. We are to come under His guidance, to come under His leadership. And that brings us life. When we subject ourselves to God's law, then we please God. And then He brings joy into our life. That is submission. So then, if that is submission, who should we submit to? God ordained an order, and He reveals this in His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, He says, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." The head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So here we have the order. God or the Father over Christ, Christ over the man over the woman, and the woman over the children. That is the order that God has ordained. And when we submit to that order, it brings joy into our life. How can submission bring joy, you might ask? You ever been a part of a team? Everybody's going in the different direction. Everybody wants the ball. Does that bring joy? No. It brings a lot of confusion and a lot of frustration. But what about if there's a strong leader? Not selfish, but a strong leader who says, "Here's what we're going to do." And he makes sure that everything goes well, that they pass the ball, that everybody gets to participate, that everybody uses their skills to their best ability. Is that fun? Does that bring joy? When you have a group of people operating as one and accomplishing much more than they could accomplish on their own? Yes. Authority is not evil. Submitting to that authority is not evil. It is actually very good when the authority is doing what is right. So we have this God-ordained order, and we need to submit to that. Obviously, the first one on that list is God. We must submit to God. James 4, 7 through 10 says, "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then he will lift you up." You know, there's so many things that we pursue thinking this will bring joy into my life. Oh, if I can just get this done. Oh, if I can just earn enough to get this thing over here. Man, am I going to be, what's that word? Happy. Oh, man. And we live our life chasing after this H word, chasing after it, letting it control our every move, submitting to its desires, which is really just the desires of our flesh. But we're chasing happiness, chasing it. And what the author of James is saying, no. Don't go off chasing things that are going to bring you gloom and shame. Humble yourself. Get yourself right. Pursue righteousness in your life. Embrace righteousness. Humble yourself, and then God will lift you up. He will bring joy into your life when you become into right standing with Him. Don't chase after those things, but let your joy come from God. John chapter 15, Jesus says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You know, we talked about this actually in Sunday school this morning. Most people have this view of God as this dictator throwing down these lightning bolts. You know, we talked about God put every lightning bolt where it should go, right? And we have this idea of God throwing down these lightning bolts, you know, oh man, I got you. That was for what you said last week. You know, oh, I got you. That was for what you did to your neighbor 20 years ago, right? That's not God's heart. That's not what God desires. Jesus says, I want you to have joy in your life. I want you to be joyful. I want you to enjoy your life. And here's how you can enjoy your life. Do what I told you. Just do what I told you. And then we submit to that and say, okay, God, I've screwed up everything on my own enough already. I'll just do what you want me to do. And then he brings joy into our life. Who else should we submit to? One another in the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 13 says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Paul is saying to the Thessalonica church, hey, those people who God has placed over the authority of your church, love them. Submit yourself to them. What they ask you to do, do it with a good attitude. If you don't know what to do, go ask them, hey, what can I do to help around here? Submit yourself. Love them. Love those who are over you, who labor among you, who admonish you. Let me tell you something. There is not an elder in the history of the world that wants to go and tell people, hey, I notice you're struggling with this sin in your life. It happens not enough because we don't want to do it. We don't like to admonish people. So Paul says, recognize those who labor among you and are over you, and esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Peter says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am also a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory of that which will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So here we have this teaching of, hey, flock, appreciate those who are over you in the church. Obey them. Submit to them. Love them. Appreciate them. And then elders, don't lord it over them. Don't say, oh, hey, let me tell you all what you should do so I can sit back and do nothing. Don't lord it over, but be an example. Lead by example. Do it willingly. Don't do it because you have to do it, but you do it because you want to do it. It's about an attitude. And then God will reward those elders. But Peter doesn't stop there. He continues. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, one of the most difficult things in a church is to establish unity and to keep unity. The Bible says that we should strive for unity. You know why it doesn't say just be unified? Although it does say that in several different places. But it says strive for unity because it's not easy. Look how many people we have here this morning. That's how many different wills that we have. Right? If I said, hey, whose favorite color is blue? Is everybody going to raise their hand? No. Who thinks we should get a different color for the church pews? I mean, look at that orange, right? Is everybody going to think we should change the color of the church pews? And are we all going to agree on what color that should be? No. Unity is very difficult. It's something that has to be strived for. And so Peter says, hey, younger people especially, don't think you're God's gift to the world. Don't think you can come in here and just change everything and now it'll look like you and be like you and everything will be great. But everybody, get along. Work hard at getting along. Recognize that first and foremost, you are responsible to God. And when you have a problem, give it to Him. Don't give it to the pastor. Hey, pastor, I just wanted to know, I'm really upset about a lot of things. So-and-so did something to me, and so-and-so did something to me. I'm not going to tell you who they are, but I want you to deal with it. And I'm not going to tell you what they said either. Okay, give those problems to God. Go to that person that you're upset with, right? We have Matthew 18 that tells us how to do that, those things, okay? But most importantly, be kind to one another. Get along. Be unified. Submit yourself to each other. Don't try to one-up each other. Well, hey, I'm the elder. Well, hey, I'm the elder of this church over here. Well, hey, I'm the chairman of the elder over here. You know what I mean? Just serve one another. Don't think that you have to get your way all the time. Okay, who else should we submit ourselves to? One another in the body of Christ, especially the eldership. also government. Romans 13, let every soul, that includes each and every one of you because you have a soul, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, for the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, those who resist the authority resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, for you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. This week I was visiting with Will in our driveway, and he pulled up beside me because I had missed the Friday afternoon prayer service at the praying for our police, and so he pulled up to the house, and we visited for a little while, and I prayed for him. But how many people would be excited to see their police, their local police officer pull up to their house? How many people would be like, yeah, the police are here? Man, what a great thing. And I must admit, there's a time in my history that I would not have been excited to see our local police. I didn't know them, right? And we lived in Kansas City, you know, it's like, hey, you know, stay away from me and I'll stay away from you, right? Hey, do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good and you will have praise the same. Submit yourself to government. Now, obviously, we know that if government is, or the church, or whoever is in authority is disobeying, living in disobedience to God, then we obviously our first allegiance is to Him. Who else should we submit to? How about our parents? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Okay? Obey your parents, honor them, submit to them, do what they ask you to do. Do it with a good attitude. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. At our house, we define obedience as... Annabelle, what's obedience? Right away, with... with a good attitude. Doing it right away with a good attitude. That's submission. Okay? Does that mean it ends when you get out of the house? Kind of. Right? We should always honor our parents. But we also are... you become a man. You come under Christ's submission. You submit to Christ. Honor your parents. Employers, should we submit to our employers? Absolutely. Ephesians 6, 4 through 8, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not as with eye service, meaning only doing things when they're paying attention as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Now, a bondservant is somebody who is contractually obligated to perform a task. Some of those were actual slaves, permanent slaves. Some of those were people who owed money and were bondservants in order to work off that money that they owed, owing a debt. Okay, but the idea is the same. When you work for somebody else, submit to them. Submit to them as you would to God. Don't just do the work when they're paying attention or just do the work good enough to get by. Do it as you would for God. Do it to the best of your ability. And then God will see that you are rewarded. Leaders, we should submit to our leaders, but this last point, I want to kind of switch the table. leaders, we also must submit to those who we are leading. And that doesn't matter if you're an elder, a governing authority, a husband leading his wife or family. The disciples were talking about who would be the greatest. Jesus called them to himself and he said, "You know that rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, for whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And so then here we close with this example of submission. And that example is Jesus Christ. In John 12 it says, "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life, and therefore whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak.'" Now here is an amazing, amazing example. If you're a husband, listen up. I want you to go home to your wife this afternoon and say, "If you love me, you don't love me, but you love Christ. Because every single thing that I do, I get from Christ. I don't say anything but what Christ would say. I don't do anything but what Christ would do. Everything and every way that I lead you is according to the way that Christ leads me." Now, if you would go home and say that, and that would be a lie, don't say it. But that's what you should say. That's the example that Christ has left us as leaders. If you would be an elder in the church, you should go to your people and say, "Follow me as your elder, because everything that I lead you in is from God, is from Christ, my leader. Follow me as I follow Christ." That's the example that Jesus gave us. It's not, "Hey, you know, you have an obligation to the church. You have an obligation to me as your elder to respect me, to do the things that I asked you to do because I'm the elder." That's not the example that Christ gave us. The example that Christ gave us is, "Hey, see this guy right up here? I'm following him. Everything that I do is from him. I do nothing on my own authority. I do nothing outside of his will." And so that you can rest assured that when I say something, it is not bad advice. It is not ungodly, but it is from the very heart and nature of God. Moms, go to your children and tell them, "Child, because I love you and because I love God, every single thing that I tell you to do, everything that I teach you, that I emulate in your presence, comes from God. I don't say anything on my own authority, but everything that I say to you, I've seen God do." And if you can't say that to your children, then I would encourage you to follow the example of Christ and submit to His authority in every way. There is joy in submission. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Did you hear what I just said? Wait a second. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him called down 10,000 angels to save Him so that He would not have to endure the cross. Is that what it says? Who for the joy that was set before Him said, "I'm out of here. Enough of these people already. They're driving me crazy." Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. How can you have joy and despise the shame? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Or maybe it's that Jesus, His focus was not on what I am going through right here and right now. His focus was on what is coming. And so He said, before the joy that is before me, the joy that I am looking at, that my focus is on, that my heart is on, that I am paying attention to, that I am continually rejoicing in, walking by faith in, I am willing to endure this hardship. I'm going through this hardship with joy, not because this is easy, not because there's no pain, not because there isn't significant loss, not because everything is just always great. I have joy in my life, even in great pain, in great sorrow, in hard times, when I can't even see tomorrow, because I know what's coming is so much greater than that which is. And so for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, even though He despised the shame. And then He sat down at the right hand of God, the right hand of the throne of God. And then Philippians, Paul says in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you." Let that same mind of looking ahead at what is coming, and enduring the afflictions of today, enduring the hardship of today, enduring the mistakes that you make and the consequences of those mistakes, enduring the consequences of other people's mistakes and the hardship that they place on you, and enduring it with a good attitude and having joy in your heart, not because it's not hard, not because there's no pain, because there is pain, but because you know what is coming, and it is so much greater than what is today. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." A lot of us have this attitude of, "I don't deserve that. What did I do to deserve? I shouldn't have to do, that's not fair. So-and-so didn't have to do that. Why are you telling me to do that? Well, hey, you didn't pay him that. You paid him more. Why are you paying me this? That's not fair. Hey, so-and-so didn't have to stay after work to do this, right? Here we have God Himself. God Himself. Who doesn't deserve anything. I mean, He's God. What did He do? He considered Himself of no reputation, of no rights, of no responsibility. Well, responsibility, but no, I don't deserve that. He humbled Himself and took on the form of a servant. And He said, I'll do it. I'll volunteer. What do you need? I'm here. And He did it. He came down. He took the form of a servant. And He even submitted to the point of death. That's a whole different attitude. That's a whole different way of thinking. I mean, what if Randy was called by God, had a heart for the Muslims over in Minnesota, and said, hey, we need to start going over there and sharing the gospel with these people? And what if a group of us who were led by the Holy Spirit went over there and were attacked? And Randy says, we got to go back. We got to go back. And somebody says, well, I can't go back. I got my family here. I can't go back. They'll hurt me. It'll hurt. I can't do it. And Randy says, no, we have to go back. And what if a group of us who were led by the Holy Spirit went back there and they killed one of us? Would you be willing to submit even to the point of death? That's what Jesus did. He submitted all the way. He made Himself of no reputation and submitted to the Father even to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Because here's so often what we miss. When we truly submit to those in authority, God blesses it. God blesses the whole thing. You know, there's an old saying that behind every great man is a truly great woman. How did we get that? The woman submitted. They joined together, became a team. And two together is better than one. Right? And so they were accomplished more together than two people trying to go in the opposite direction. What if we had a whole church that got together and said, you know what? We're going to submit to one another. We're going to get together and see what God can do through us. And we're not going to be about, oh, who's leading here? Who's getting all the credit? Because all the credit's going to God, and we're just serving each other, and we're loving the people that are coming into our congregation, and we're teaching them the right way to go, and we're demonstrating this authority over them, not because we're better than them, but because that God has placed us into that position, and we're not jealous of each other. Matter of fact, we love each other, and those who are serving, we appreciate them even more because we recognize even more that they have responsibility. What if, like a husband and wife who was got together and accomplished so much, what if a whole church was to get together? Just think of what they could do. Just think of what they could do for the gospel. Just think of what they could do for God, for the kingdom, for His glory and for His honor. What if a whole nation was to get together and recognize that God is over them and that they have a responsibility to be just and to do what is right, and to govern in a way that is honoring to God. And the whole people in that nation respected the authority and supported them and prayed for them and encouraged them and said, yes, do what is right, even though it is hard, even though it is uncomfortable, even though it means being made fun of, being hurt, being called, oh, you don't care about people. Oh, you want to oppress the weak. Oh, you want to hurt people. Oh, you want to tear apart families. But what if we supported them and said, you know what? God has ordained you as our leaders, and we are going to support you in the things that you do that is in obedience to God. What if a whole nation was to submit to God's authority, and the people were to submit to their leaders? I want to close with this one quote of Robert Rainey. I think it summarizes the whole sermon. It says this: joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. Joy is the flag which is flown from the castle of the heart when the king is in residence there. When God is reigning in our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. It pops out. You can't even stop it. When God is reigning in our hearts, and when we submit to Him, and then we lead by His example, and those that are under our authority do the same, and those that are over us, we submit to them, under God's authority, what happens is joy. And if that's not happening in your life, I would encourage you to embrace submission. It is a good thing. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You have called for the simple things of this earth to confound the wise. And we can spend so much money on medicine and philosophy and psychology and all these different things. But You have written in Your Word the things that make for peace and for joy and for a life of fulfillment. But so often, Lord, we have discounted them. We have rejected them. We have run away from them. And so, Lord, I pray that we would repent, that we would embrace righteousness, and that we would embrace submission, and that we would live our lives under Your authority, under Your design, and that we would have that joy that You lived for, that You died for, that You desperately want to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.